Lord has been blessing and the services. People been, they've been finding their way to the Lord. I trust that you've been talking with the Lord, that things will continue on. There's some great things taking place. Some great, wonderful things. Most of the time, people during the wintertime, they have a little problem with their throats and they can't sing like they'd like to. It's a little problem trying to minister like you'd like to. Thinking today is my wife's birthday. We married when we were 16, I believe it was, when she was 16. I guess I was 18, was I? 16, and she's just a little past it now. When I married her, she's about like some of these little 16-year-old girls here, and I was about like some of these little 18-year-old boys. I was a little younger than Joe. But we've had a wonderful time trying to talk about God and do the things that the Lord has appointed unto us. Before then, we had a few little problems. Before you come to know the Lord, you have a few little problems. And I, of course, was no different. Betty and I, we had a few little problems. And it took us a while to kind of get adjusted to life, learn what life was all about. And then I found out that my problem was that I didn't have Jesus. And when I got Jesus, then my problems left. And it doesn't mean that the devil don't come around trying to peddle a little something here and there, but it does mean that God took away my problems. We've been speaking to you a little bit from different passages of scriptures, and to me, the book, the Bible, it's filled with wonderful, wonderful things, and I could talk about it for the rest of my life and really intend to do that. Day and night, I talk about the wonderful Word of God because it's my heart and my life. We've been seeing a lot of things and trying to indoctrinate you with things that would be beneficial to you. Now, I was wanting to get back to asking and letting you ask another question or two. So tonight, I wonder if anybody's got something on their mind. When I ask, if you don't have, we'll always minister to you from something. But if you've got something on your mind, I'd like to give you a chance to ask the question. And sometimes that gives you a chance to fire back at me. Because I know some of you's wound up, you know, you've got your slingshot ready. And that gives you your opportunity. It gives different ones opportunity that's genuinely sincere to ask questions that they are trying to understand. I know that you're filled with questions. When I started off into the ministry, I had so many hundreds of questions, I didn't hardly know what to do. But I kept walking with the Lord. And today, so far as I know, I don't know of any questions that I have that I would like to ask the Lord, but what He has answered everything, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, because I was that kind of a person. But He's answered all of them, satisfied my heart completely. And if anything arises now that I want to ask Him, it's just a few minutes and He answers me right back. Matter of fact, the Bible said it'll come to pass, I will answer before you call. Before I ever ask Him, He'll make it revelation to me and let me know. If you'd like to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, if you'd like to be a real Bible scholar, and I don't mean just a Bible scholar of the intellectual side of the Bible as to the printed page, it's good to do that. But that can be the worst thing that ever happened to you. To learn the Bible and not to have the Spirit, that's the worst thing that could ever happen to you. You become conceited after that, and this is what caused Paul to kill the church. He was killing the church. He was actually killing the people of God because he was a great scholar. And today, people that go to college and that know all kind of quotes, they're literally killing the church. They're killing the church. Let me say this to you while you ponder just for a minute. My heart is literally filled with the revelation of God. And every now and then I'll bring out a little something to explain to you what I understand. Paul said, when I write this, that way you can know and understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ. For great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I'm made a steward. Great is the mystery of godliness, and I'm made a steward. We have to remember that the knowledge of the Word of God can be one thing to one individual and another thing to another individual. Now you might say, what do you mean by that? I mean it can be life to one, it can be death to the other. Before Calvary, the Word of God, of the law and the letter, the very word that came from God Almighty was death. And it killed the people. It was death. They were stoned to death. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. Hailstones were thrown down from heaven, and thousands and tens of thousands of people died because it was death to them. The same word of God as to the law of the letter on the other side of Calvary was different altogether. Paul said, on the side of death, I was alive until the law came. When the law came, sin revived and I died. It was unto death. It was unto death because they could not mix faith with it. They couldn't mix faith with it because faith had not yet been given. It could not be mixed with it to bring them eternal life. They could have a human faith, and they could have a human concept of faith, but the faith and the eternal life had not been given. So then, being not mixed with faith, the Bible said it did not profit them that heard it. Though they had the promises, though the Jews had all of the things that of the oracles of God, but it could not give them eternal life. Though they had great prophets that came among them, prophesied and done all kind of things, but it still could not give them eternal life. So the Bible said all of these died in the faith, not having received the promise as to the Spirit of God that was to come by the faith of Jesus Christ, having been shut up under the law unto the faith that should come afterwards. This faith had never been given, the faith of Christ by which we're sanctified. So then on that side of the law, even Paul was killed by the law, because the law was given for one purpose, and that was to reveal our shortcomings and to reveal our sin to us. And when it revealed sin to us, condemnation seized upon us. And since we did not have the faith and only had our faith, it killed our confidence. And Paul said, I died. On the other side of Calvary, it is the same law, the same letter, but it is a letter, it is a word of life. For my words are spirit, and they are life. For when faith is mixed with the word, the same law, then it becomes life. So then you see that the law of the letter, by the same law, the law that destroyed Israel, by the same law, the church is saved. They are saved. But the difference is that no one could keep the law before Calvary. It was said, Paul said, ye have the law and none of you keep it. And the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of that. So then we see that the law of the letter could not be fulfilled in anybody. And the Bible said, by the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul said, I'm blameless concerning the law. But that still didn't bring a justification. And then on the other side of Calvary, as to the side that you and I are on, the Spirit of Christ, who fulfilled every jot and tittle, now lives in our heart and fulfills the law, so God saves us by the law. Thus we are saved. And yet no flesh shall be justified by the law as to self-righteousness, but as to the law of righteousness, as to Christ, as to the fulfillment of the law, then are we justified. And our hearts are sanctified and purified by it. And Paul said concerning the Jews, ye have the law, and none of you keep it. Seeing then that the Gentiles which do not have the law as a written letter fulfill the law within their heart as to their dedication and love to God, should not they then be justified in that they have kept the law? So we see there is a change, a complete change from one side of Calvary to the other. Of course, if we went into that tonight, the change would be so radical that if you could fathom what I was saying or listen to it as to get into the revelation, you'd literally be shocked even after all the days and years you've been here. You would still be shocked because, as I say, you still don't understand. Many of you understand a lot of things. You're coming into a lot of things. But to understand the revelation of Jesus Christ, as to know what he hath said and intended, that's a different thing altogether. If you really knew just what Calvary meant, not just as to salvation, but as what it meant as to your knowledge of the mind of God and what he hath done and what took place, and as to what time of life it is right now, and as to what time of life it was at Calvary, and what time of life it was before Calvary, as to be able to differentiate and tell the time from one age to another, periodically speaking, as to the dividing, the times and dividing of times, then it would really be shocking to you. All right, I just said that to drop in a few thoughts there, not to try to get into Revelation. In a little while I could get into Revelation. I see some of your minds switching over. But if I do that, it's getting a little late now. And by the time I wrestle with your minds a little and get everything in place, I wouldn't have time to really bring out enough Revelation to justify what I was trying to say. And I just try to stay away from it until I can have plenty of time. Brother George, please differentiate in depths between the terms holiness and righteousness as you spoke of it recently. Okay? When you say holiness and righteousness, what I was saying, I perceived that what I was saying at the time that the brother heard this, I was speaking of differentiating between one kind of people and another kind of people. Are there more than one kind of people that are in the service of the Lord Jesus? Are they more than one kind? Are there different places, different heavens, different statuses with God of life? Is there different places? Okay, now, there definitely is. There is, as it says, righteousness here. There is a righteous man. There is a righteous man. There is a holy man. The Bible speaks of a righteous man. You'll find it in the Bible where he speaks of the righteous man. And then you'll find it in the Bible where he says, he that is holy even as he is holy. There's a holy man. And then it speaks of apostles and prophets, whereas even the terms of it in the Bible, it is said in the scriptures that they are holy apostles and prophets. They're called holy apostles and prophets. A holy man, like in India, there are people that believe that they are children of God as to the God they worship. But then they have what they call their holy men. And these men are set apart. They're different. They're different. It's like Catholic priests. These are supposed to be holy fathers and holy mothers. And the rest of them do pretty much like they want to, but they feel like they're saints and they're on their way to heaven. And when they need help or they do anything wrong, they go to these holy fathers and holy mothers. Whereas in the Protestant era of life, as to the church, they don't practice that very much. They don't practice that. Everybody feels like that they can go to God for themselves and do whatever they want to, which is true. They can. The veil is rent in twain. You can go boldly into the place of the sanctuary, even into the holy place. And there, through your boldness, you can actually receive something from God. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need, that you might receive help. You can do that. God wants you to do that. It's open to you. It's open to me. But on the other hand, this does not mean that you're going to tutor yourself and that you're just going to grow up into God, you know, and not listen to the preacher, and you're just going to work it out. Somebody said, God said, work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. That's true. But you don't go before God and say, Lord, you said, come, let us reason together. I want to reason with you. Lord, I'll go to church on Monday, but I ain't going on Sunday. And God, I'll give you $10, but I ain't giving you $20. And you don't go to God and say, Lord, I would like to meet with the saints of God one day out of the week, but the other days I have to watch TV, and I've got ball games, and I've got things I must do. I must make money, and I must look after my business. You don't reason with God like that. See, all of that is foolishness. When you come to God, you reason like this. You listen. You be quiet before God, and you listen. And when you listen, you hear God saying, that's the way it is, and you say, amen, praise God, we reason together. That's the way God reasons. Yea and amen. All of his promises, all of his words, all of his tutoring. So then that means that you don't go boldly before the throne to do those things. What you do, you go boldly before the throne to ask God for help, whether it's for sickness, whether it's for wisdom or whatever. And you say, Lord, give me wisdom. You said that you would give to all men wisdom that come unto thee. And the Lord, he gives you wisdom. So he says, Paul, go down to the street called Straight, and he'll tell you what to do. And the Lord says, go out to the ministry and to the church and wherever, and you will be under tutors until the time appointed of the Father as to the bar mitzvah. And though you be Lord of all, yet you differ nothing from a servant until I finish tutoring you. So you're under tutors. As Paul said, under tutors, even as the Jews were, until the coming of the faith. Which faith has come? They were under tutors. He even spoke of the law. And the law was a schoolmaster to bring us under grace. And when the fullness of time was come, then God sent forth his Son. Now many of you haven't even got far enough along to be able to go to God to get anything at all from God. You're not that far along. For see, to get anything from God, you've got to have God's Spirit. And the Bible said if you have not God's Spirit, then you're none of his. So if you go to God without God's Spirit, there isn't anything coming to you. Because the Bible said the things of God knoweth no man. That is, they're not going to come to a man. I don't care how intellectual brilliant he is, they're not going to come to a man. They're going to come to God. You can be as dedicated as you want to. You can do like some of the Indians over yonder and fast numbers of days. You can set yourself apart, whatever. But unless you have his Spirit, you won't get it. The Bible said God has hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and revealed them and made them revelation unto babes, just little old babes such as will learn. Or that is to say, them that hath his spirit, them that hath his spirit, they get revelation. That's why I said the other day, some of our boys and girls will start getting revelation. So you're not going to get into God's presence and get anything from God unless you're righteous. You're righteous. You're going to have to be righteous. The Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the Bible said we know that God heareth not sinners. Oh, you can say what you want to about it. Somebody said, well, I know I was a sinner and I called on God and God saved me. I know I was, somebody says. Well, what does he mean then when the Bible said we know that God heareth not sinners? What is he talking about? What does he mean when he says that Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, being Isaac's son, and found no place of repentance? He cried, he wept, he begged, he pleaded, but he didn't get the birthright. He didn't find any place of repentance. You know why? Because the birthright had already been given to Jacob. See, and there's twins. You are a natural person, you are a spiritual person. And they that love the world have the love of the world in them, and they go after the things of the world, and they are Esau. And God gives them the world. He said to Israel, pass through this land. It's the land of Esau. See, your inheritance is over on the other side of Jordan. That is when you cross over, pardon me, over into the carnal mind, into the Canaan land, which is the mind of Christ, then that's your inheritance in the mind of Christ. But on this side, Satan savors the things that be of the world. He's the prince of this world. And because of that, then he is the one that leads you and guides you. And you are taken into captivity at his will. He is your Lord and he is your master. He is the prince of this world. He has you to dope up and to drink and to frolic and to follow after passions. He's the one that keeps you eating and drinking all the time. Someone says, well, I thought God gave us all that food and drink. He did, but he didn't tell you to be pigs. I didn't say that Satan gave that to you. I said he's the one that leads you to eat and drink and to frolic. God is the one that gave you passions as to multiply and replenish the earth. But he didn't mean for you to be like animals. He meant for you to have moderation in all things and to use God's gifts and God's life and God's means and purposes according to God's plan, and not be just an old glutton that eats all the time and drinks all the time and from one hamburger to another and can't get your mind off of your belly. The Bible said that the serpent is on his belly. God didn't mean for you to be like some old dog, you know, and you can't be contented with your wife and you can't be contented with your husband. You just got to be like some old dog, or they call it a slut in the world. He didn't mean for you to be like that. He meant for you to be temperate in all things and have moderation in all things and have a self-control in all things. And this is where you differentiate between sons of God and sons of the devil. Sons of God have a constraint. They have a moderation. They have a unique way of life of doing things within the rims of the Bible as to have moderation. Beasts that are the devil, they have the mind of Christ. They can't be satisfied with nothing. Even marriage, one time and two times and a half a dozen times. Because they're given to the flesh. Satan, thou savest the things that be of the flesh. So there is a differentiating as to the man that is without and the man that is within, or the person that's got the mind of Christ and the person that has the mind of the devil. See, in here tonight, there's people in here tonight, and they were positive that they had the way of the Lord and the mind of God. Even the Word of God being a scholar, only to come to find out when they found the real things of God, they had wallowed in the mire. They had been washed as to grace, as to coming into the light of God, as to having the fellowship of saints, and went right back the old sow to her wallowing in the mire, and the old dog to his vomit. You know, when you have the mind of Christ, you'll speak with new tongues. You won't come in and listen to the Word of God and go back to your old gossiping lips and your old garbage talk and all of this old thing that's a stench in God's nostrils. You won't go back to watching the frivolous things on TV and reading those things and magazines and going to ball games and having your mind on eating and drinking and money and cars, houses and lands and the things of the world. I tell you again, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. When you get born again, you won't go back out into the world to passions, to frolic, to the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and those kind of things, to laugh and talk and joke and to eat and drink. You know, eat cookies and sit around the table drinking coffee, and your whole conversation is about your neighbor or the girl that lives on the hill or the man over there or the preacher didn't do it right and all these other kind of things. You don't do that. You don't do that. All that's of the devil. The Bible said not to mess with them that's given to change. If they're going to make a change, let them make a change and get on out. We don't need them. Because God said don't mess with them kind of people. Leave them people alone, because I'll tell you what you'll find. You check it out and see. This is what you'll find. They are up one day and they are with you one day, and the next day they done quit. And they are all together for Christ one day, and the next day they don't want him at all. They're with the preacher one day, and the next day they've decided that isn't right. They will get in with you to do something for God one day, and the next day they decided that they're going to quit. See, double-minded, unstable in all of their ways. The Bible said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. Women the same way. You'll never receive anything of God. You can't receive anything of God because you don't have the mind of Christ. When you get the mind of Christ, you're not double-minded. You don't curse with one word and praise God with another. The Bible said good water and bitter water can't come forth from the same fountain. You don't get good water and bitter water out of the same well. It's either one or the other. So I'm trying to tell you there's a point of difference. There is a point of difference. There is a differentiating. See, you can be ever so religious and still not have the mind of God. You can quote the Bible and still not have the mind of Christ and have the Spirit of Christ. And I tell you this again, since we got on this little thought about the difference here as to holiness, righteousness. There is a righteousness that's called self-righteousness. That's altogether different from holiness. Altogether different. It is a righteousness, but it is a self-righteousness. It is not the righteousness of God. God speaks of it in one place. And the man that went up to the temple, he done all of the ritualistics. He went through the fasting. He said, I fast. I pay tithe of all that I've got. And I do such and such and such. I thank thee, O Lord, that I am it, as we say. The other man said, well, I don't pay any tithes. And I don't do nothing. I don't do nothing. And I'm sorry, God, but I'm it. And the Lord looked down, and I'm just using some simple terms here. God looked down and said, to me, you're justified because you humbled your heart. You called on God by saying, have mercy on me. Now you have my righteousness. This man over here that did all the boasting, all he has out of all he did was will worship, and it was self-righteousness. I've got people that come to Bethlehem, they give, they do all the things that man did. They're Bible scholars, they listen good, they know numbers of things. I can start a conversation and they just like that. But when I catch their spirit, they don't have his spirit at all. And without his spirit, there is no righteousness. Because the Bible said in that day, not being found with these filthy rags or garments of self-righteousness, but having his righteousness. For God said to the people, lest your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes, then you won't be saved. And the Pharisees and scribes had self-righteousness, just like the man that said, I fast, I pray, I do all these things. That was self-righteousness. He did those things, but that's not where salvation is. Said, lest your righteousness exceed that, which means the righteousness of Christ. If you have not his spirit, you have not his righteousness. Because it is his righteous spirit that is righteousness. And when his spirit comes into me, then I have righteousness. If I don't have righteousness. I haven't put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you can't be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, unless you have his spirit. Whatever your spirit is, as to save his spirit and your spirit, it makes your bone and flesh the same. As to a dog spirit, then are ye a dog. If you have a devil spirit, Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. So, as to Judas, he was a man, but he said, I chose a devil, because he had a devil spirit. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then there is a righteousness that excels. It is faith in his atonement. Faith in his finished works. Now, like somebody I challenged said, well, that's what I believe in, Brother Pike. They said, that's why I go to the ball games, and that's why I do all my frolics. I know it's all of God. We can't do anything about it. And he so loved us that he gave his son to save us. And what we need to do is not burden ourselves down with these things. And we need to enjoy life while we can enjoy life. Jesus said, thou hypocrite. See, if it never come to religion, it wouldn't have been a hypocrite. They'd just been a sinner. He said, thou hypocrite. They are the sinners because they come to know his will and they don't do his will. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. So then they are hypocrites. God didn't say that at all to them. They got a misconcept of it. Once saved, always saved. They say once saved, always saved. That's true. When you are once saved, you are always saved. And then when was we once saved? By predestination before the world ever was. And then it was given to us in Christ. And then brought to our understanding in faith at Calvary when the veil was rent and when everything was given to us there at Calvary. So then it is true, once saved, always saved. You know, Brother Taylor's about to be hit by a car. I saved him. Once saved, he's always saved from being hit by that car at that time. But what about the next car and the next time? See, once saved, always saved. If you really get salvation and you're one of the predestinated, you know, and God has chosen you in Christ, then are ye saved. As Paul said when he preached to the people, he said, in them that were ordained unto eternal life, they believed, and the rest did not believe. He preached to all of them. Why did not all of them believe? Because they were not before of old ordained unto eternal life, but the Bible said these were ungodly men before of old ordained to ungodliness and lasciviousness and the evil things of the world. And Jesus said concerning them, said, ye are of your father the devil, and you're going to do what he tells you to do. They were born of the devil. When Jesus went out and sowed the seed and he came back and tares come up, he was giving the parable. He said, from whence comes these tares? I didn't sow these tares. Then he said, I know the enemy did this. My enemy did this. I sowed good wheat. See, some of you people that listen to my voice, and I say this because my voice goes out to many places around the world. Some of you people that listen to my voice, see, when you listen to my voice, you are the seed of God. The seed that he sowed is to predestination as to good seed. And from that good seed will come forth eternal life and the image of the Son of God. Some of you that hear my voice is of your father the devil. God isn't your father. You are the tares that the enemy, the devil, sowed. And you are by foreknowledge, as it was Judas, before he was ever born. The Bible said, let another his bishopric take. Because he was a devil from the beginning. Even though he was a human being, the devil had never come into him. He was just as much a human being as you are. He was had just as much opportunity to repent, to serve God, and whatever as you have. It was a sovereignty. Someone would say, then why didn't he serve God? Now that's the question I'm asking you. Why didn't he? Why didn't he? Somebody said, well, I know because God predestinated him to hell, and I don't think that's right. No, that isn't the way it is. That's your ignorance. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. It is true that God predestinated him to hell. That's true. Simply because he saw the wretched, wicked way that he would go. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated before the children were yet born, having done no good nor evil, that it might stand as not by works, but by him that calleth. So then, When God says, and these are brute beasts made to be taken and burned, did God just stand up there and make somebody and says, I'm going to make you so I can burn you in hell? No. No, he made him just like he did everybody else. But by foreknowledge, seeing the way that he would go to hell. Then the writer looked all the way back and said, when God made him, he made him to burn in hell, because these were brute beasts made to be taken and burned. So I'm saying this, there is a point of differentiation as to righteousness, as to holiness, and there's different levels as to godliness within you, as to whether you are a holy person, a godly person, or a righteous person. There are people that are just moral people. We can't go into a lot of this, so I'm not going to try to, but I'm just going to drop in a thought or two. Maybe one night we can go into the levels of it to differentiate between the holy and the most holy. All right, now, so how do you understand what I'm saying? You are a seed that God planted if you are a good seed. And you're going to bring forth the harvest. And you are a seed of the devil, and your father, the devil, is your keeper. If you are a bad seed, you were sown by the enemy. And you've been sown in the midst of God's field of righteousness. And you are there. I can't pluck you up in the church. I can't do that. The Bible said not, or rather in the field. Beg your pardon, in the field. I'm trying to hurry here. I get tangled up in these things. But I can't pluck you up in the world, which is in the field. Jesus said the field is the world. I can't pluck you up out there. I have to let you grow together out there. But in the church, I can't let you grow together here. He said, purge out the old leaven and be your new lump. You have to cut off the rotten limb to save the tree. I say to you again, as I said in the past, when the Bible says to turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved, it is not telling you to turn a person over to the devil that God may destroy his flesh so he can save his spirit. That's not right. That's not what God was saying. He said, purge out the old leaven, cut off the rotten limb, to save the spirit in the body, to save the life in the tree. To save the life in the tree, because the rotten limb will cause the whole tree to die. You have corruption in the church, and it'll cause the whole church to die. When you turn that man over to the devil, that means he's gone, body, soul, and spirit. He's gone. God, you turn him over to the devil that God might destroy him, that's the end of him. I say again, when Peter turned Ananias and Sapphira over to the devil to destroy them, that was the end of them, body, soul, and spirit. I had a preacher not too long ago. I'm always reminding you of this. He's supposed to be one of the leading preachers. And that out of Brother Branham's tabernacle is to the leadership. And he told me that Ananias and Sapphira didn't go to hell. I said, what do you mean they didn't go to hell? No. They didn't go to hell. Said, just because Peter, you know, said you lied to God. At that point, I'm lost if he's right. Because the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. They go to hell. And it's for sure, he said, liars will not enter into that holy city. He that maketh the lie and loveth the lie. And the Bible said all liars will be turned into the lake of fire. They go into hell, as we say. So what do? The Bible said they lied to God. Surely people that lie to God will go to hell, if a man that lies to a man will go to hell. So anyway, that's the way he saw it. That's why I say we don't need to mess around with what we think or what we feel. He is the cream of the crop. He is supposed to be at the top of the ladder. He is supposed to be one of the greatest Bible scholars in the world today. But see, you can't go by who you was taught by or where you come from or whatever. You've got to go by God's Word. If God's Word says it, then that's the way it is. And a lot of times we think we know something when we don't know something as we ought to know, and we get our foot right into it by boasting of what we know. The best thing to do is to stay with the Word of the Lord. If you want to make it, if you want to go into the kingdom of God, then stay with the church. Stay with the brotherhood. Don't go out there when somebody says, well, I got to go preach. If you're called to preach,
then stay with the brotherhood as they did in the early church. Work with the brotherhood and go out there and preach and come to and fro in the, with the brotherhood. In the first place, if you haven't been in the gospel for 30 or 40 years, you're going to run into problems. So you need to stay with somebody that knows what's going on, because you might have a whole sack full, but when you get out there, you're going to find problems. When the multitude runs, you're going to run out quick. You may have a bucket with a whole lot of water in it, as we say, but if somebody punches the hole in your bucket, it's going to leak out on you. And you're going to find yourself out there mixed up, mingling with the affairs of the world. And you're going to be caught being interwoven with one another as man and woman. And you're going to have a mess. Many people have had to learn this the hard way. Men that I knew was outstanding ministers has had to learn this the hard way. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that's one thing I don't have to worry about. I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. Don't be foolish. You can't handle it. Solomon said you don't take fire to your bosom without getting burned. I'll tell you what, let me come out there and give you a stick with a blaze of fire, a ladder knot, as we used to call it. Set it on fire and let me stick it down in your hand and see how long you handle it. You can't play with fire without getting burned. The best thing to do is have sense enough to stay away from the fire. And you know how you have sense enough to do that? Have the mind of Christ. That's the only sense that's got enough understanding to do it. And when you do that, you'll do what he tells you to do. Stay with the shepherd. Stay with the brotherhood. Grow and work together. There's only one church. All over the world, there's only one church. Somebody says, well, I know a lot of churches. I do too. And I know where there's a lot of mess too. Ball games and shorts and all kind of gossiping, drinking, all kind of things. And I said, yes, but I know where there's some good churches. I do too. And some good preachers. And you know what? Everyone that meets me, we become friends. Because we're brothers. We're all one brotherhood. All one church. And it will always be like that. When a man won't have fellowship with a saint of God or with a minister of God, he isn't God's minister. He isn't a saint of God. He's just carrying the title. The Bible said, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, that is in the word and knowledge of God, you will have fellowship one with another. You will. You will. When you don't have fellowship, even you that stay here at Bethlehem, when you withdraw and you're doing your own thing and you're carrying your own little deal and you got your own ministry and you got your own thing and you're withdrawn, take my word for it, and you're in darkness. You're walking in darkness. Not one living person here at Bethlehem can withdraw on their little hillside or there in their little place and do their own thing. Not one of them, and be right with God. Not one of them. Not one of them. It's utterly impossible. The scriptures cannot be broken. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. And I don't mean to get to preaching to you, because I'm just talking to you. All right. So we could go on and go on and go on with that. After the 1,000 millennium reign, 1,000 years it would be, the Bible says Satan will be loose for a little season. What time period will that be? Seventh day or eighth day? Sound like somebody's getting into a little revelation here. They wouldn't ask me in those terms. Ain't got no name to it. Okay, what day will that be? That will be your seventh day. Whoever asked that has to be getting into some revelation, or they wouldn't have asked concerning days. It will be the seventh day. But it will be at the end of the seventh day. It will not be at the beginning of the seventh day. It will be at the end of the seventh day. Maybe that's all they wanted to know there. That's why I read it. Thought maybe it might just be a short thing that we answered that. Your millennium is your seventh day. And Satan is loosed at the end of the 1,000 years. Your eighth day is called the new earth. The millennium is not the new earth. A lot of times people teaches you that, say, we're going to the new world and we're going to be on the new earth and we're going to rule, reign for 1,000 years. No, that's not right. You won't do that on the new earth. You'll do that on this earth, the restored earth. This is the restored earth as to the millennium where the briars are taken away and man goes back to the garden. So that's the restoration of the Garden of Eden. Your new earth will be a spiritual thing. It'll be spiritual. The whole world will transformate into a spiritual thing. And then comes your new earth. That's your eighth day. Always the children were circumcised on the eighth day. That's the way it was, because eighth means resurrection. When Jesus came out of the grave, that was circumcision. And that meant the resurrection. Sown one body, raised another body. The same way, if you're baptized, when you're baptized in water, that's circumcision. You are being baptized, and the old body or the body of your first birth is completely taken away, and God sees it no more, and from within you comes forth the new man, Christ, and out of that water comes forth bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So that is the eighth day, and we could go on and go on with these things because there's so many wonderful things to be said in Revelation. Hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of things. And as to the millennium, when it comes to the millennium, that's the day of his rest. And when we speak of his rest, then there could be mighty things said about his rest. I'm going to say this one thing to you, and I want to leave this thought with you. Somebody came to me today, and they said they wanted to know something about the infilling of the Spirit. As to how you could tell this and what this had to do with as to making the translation. Would you make the translation or would you not make the translation? What this had to do with. And then I answered them like this to make it simple. I said, without the Holy Ghost, you can't make the translation. Because the Holy Ghost is the translation. The Holy Ghost is the translation. It is when God's Spirit comes into your spirit that the Bible says that you have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is Christ's Spirit. In whatever measure of his Spirit you submit yourself to, he giveth the Spirit unto us by measure. Then that is the treasure as to the heavenly treasure, the knowledge that you have as to the measure of Christ himself. And it will determine your future abode. It would take a long time to go into that. Paul spoke of the full reward, the full measure, the full stature, the perfect man. Every man that be perfect shall be as his master. He that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me. Being equal with God, Paul said, the mind to make you equal with God. So every bit of the mind that you get of Christ, it is making you equal with God. So then, if you don't have his Spirit, you're none of his, the Bible says. It's not a matter of making the translation, you're just none of his to begin with. You might be a believer. And one of these nights, we'll elaborate a little more on being a believer and what can happen to you. See, but you've got to have his Spirit because that is the translation. Once you get his Spirit, it will come forth from your spirit as a transformation of your mind from glory to glory until finally it will do as it was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, as it was with Stephen when his face glowed, as it was with Moses when his countenance lit up like a light. And it will penetrate your spirit and come into your very blood genetics and change your blood genetics. Change them. Into immortality, into the celestial body. Now, you might powder your face, you might paint your eyebrows, and lipstick your lips, and all these kind of things, to try to be pretty, speaking of women, and men, they're about as bad with makeup now, and curling their hair and whatever. But anyway, you might do this, but folks, let me tell you, Paul said all of that's still beggarly elements. One child of God that gets the Spirit when he's unveiled as to this natural body leaving and the celestial body coming. The Bible said he will shine above the brightness of the noonday sun. He will be, she will be, he will be, they will be so beautiful, so radiant. The brightness of their countenance and the glow of their beauty will be so great that the sun will have no equality to it. Just one individual. The Bible said, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine forth as the brightness of the noonday. So then that's why I said, wouldn't you like to have a light that would not just brighten a corner? Let's say brighten the corner where you are. An angel flew through heaven that had a light that lightened the entire earth. Wouldn't you like to have a light? And when I say light, I'm speaking of the mind and knowledge of Almighty God. Wouldn't you like to come to that capacity of understanding as to your light that would lighten the entire world? Wisdom makes your face to shine, that you would be so bright, until you would outshine the noonday. Now that's what I would like to do. I would like to do that. That's why that I follow on. Paul said, not as though I've apprehended, but this I do, pressing forward to the prize of the mark of the high calling in Jesus. I forget those things that are behind. Got everything out there as waste. And I'm looking for Christ. All right, let's stand together. May the Lord bless you tonight. I hope I haven't kept you too long. Folks, I have to keep you a little bit of time. I can't just come up here and not keep you at all, not take any time. I have to take a little bit of time. So when you come to church, don't just come in expecting to run back out. You can't do that. I have to have a little time, and I try my best to do the best I know how to do with the time that I've got to work with you. But I'm telling you, and I still tell you over and over, I tell you, especially you young girls and boys that's coming in, something has happened. I don't have time to go and do it with you because you don't have the patience. But I'm telling you that something great and mighty has happened. And try to get into it. It's your day. It's your hour. Don't let it leave you, because it's going to the boys and girls all over the world. Watch and see if I'm telling you right. And it's going to bring Jesus back. This message will bring Christ back. I know some of you question that and say, well, it's another message and we'll see Brother Pike, and one of these days it'll be, I don't care what it will be, and one of these days, whether I'm here or I ain't here or whatever, this message of the revelation of Jesus Christ that I'm preaching will bring Jesus back to this world. And there won't be any other message. It'll be this message. And it's already done, what you don't know, because you don't understand. Though you feel you understand, you're sure you do. And you dispute with me in your spirit here. You dispute with me. And I check your spirit a lot of times when it's disputing with me to see, God, is it that way? And I check it, and no, it ain't that way. You're just like all the rest. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? There is one thing, there's something great. It is given to you. Now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of Almighty God. You can have it freely. Come freely. The Bible said without money, come and buy. And you can have these things. And I'll tell you one thing. There is nothing in the world so beautiful, so fascinating, so alluring or enticing, so rewarding, both as to heart satisfaction and to bringing to you eternal security as to wealth, as to those securities of this life and the world to come. Nothing to be compared with it. That's why Paul said this other is beggarly elements. Okay, let's sing a little chorus, can we? As you stumble along down life's pathway, is your life filled with sin and bitter tears? Have you no hope for tomorrow? Is your life just a life of wasted years? Can you sing it with me? Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish.
as you stumble along in sin and tears. Turn around, turn around, God is calling, for He's calling you from a life of wasted years.
Can you sing that with me?
Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish, as you stumble along in sin and tears. Turn around, God is calling, and He's calling you from a life of wasted years.
Sing it with me.
Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish, as you stumble along in sin and tears. Just turn around, God is calling, oh, He's calling you from a life of wasted years.
Sing it one more time.
Wasted years, wasted years, oh, how foolish, as you stumble along in sin and tears. Just turn around, God is calling, and He's calling you from a life of wasted years.
Can you say one more time?
Wasted years. Oh, how foolish, as you stumble along in sin and tears. Just turn around, for God is calling, and He's calling you from a life of wasted years.
Last night as we started, or what night was it? Anyway, the last service night, we started down the sidewalk. And I was walking down the sidewalk, and Brother Allen and Brother Johnny was behind me. And all of a sudden, I heard Brother Allen holler out. And Philip said, "Johnny!" And I thought, "What in the world's happened to Johnny?" Now, that must have scared Philip about half out of his wits. And I turned around, and Johnny was staggering like a drunk man and just a dancing, coming down that sidewalk, which Johnny don't do. I never seen Johnny do that. Johnny's easily embarrassed anyway. He's tucking his head now. But anyway, he was just a getting it, as the world says. He was praising God. He wasn't saying nothing hardly, just staggering and dancing, and he just kept on dancing. And it looked like he'd fall and break his neck, but he danced right on down every step, right on down into the parking lot, until he got through dancing. And God had just dropped down out on that sidewalk, and it shook Johnny up. And I looked at Johnny, and I knew that Johnny wasn't doing that on his own. I knew that God's Spirit had seized Johnny. Sometimes you have that to happen to you, where the Spirit of God will just seize you like that. And you don't have anything to do with the dancing at all. So it was just so wonderful. God has been blessing here. People have come to me in tears. And they have been greatly concerned about their soul. Numbers of people have been giving their hearts to God. And I've seen a lot of others, while they're giving their hearts to God, I've seen a lot of others while they're giving their hearts to God, There's a lot of others that are still carnal minded. And they are trying to come in. There are twins that are born in every revival. One is a bastard child. The other is a God child. And the way the bastard child is born, he is born of the devil, his father the devil. And the seed that has been sown is from the old tree of knowledge. And from that tree of knowledge comes his intellect and his brilliance, even to a religious countenance. And he becomes very religious in his thinking and very adapted to what is being preached. He becomes just as adapted to what's being preached as the God child. And with this, he becomes a brilliant intellectual scholar. But he has weeds in his garden. Whatever he does it with self-motive. It is called self-will. But we have an unction from God. Ours is an unction. But his is self-will. And all that he does is within his intellectual mind or in the radius of his own intellectual confine. And he does this within his little world as to the love of the world being in his heart. And he works religion into his lifestyle. And he works it into his way of life. And soon he can do all the things he wants to do and allow for the little things over here and the little things over here and still be religious, because he sears his conscience and gets past feeling. And the preacher can't tell him anything, because no matter what the preacher tells him, he's going to work it in with his program. See, and soon he is like Esau, overconfident of the birthright, and soon he is part of the world. And now he can watch TV and he can do the other things, go on with the things of the world, and still be a child of God as far as he's concerned. And this is what the Bible calls turning them over to a reprobate mind, because when they heard the truth, they didn't have a love for the truth, and they tried to mix the world with these things, and now God has turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. He sent them strong delusions, caused them to believe a lie, the Bible said, that they might be damned because they did not love his truth. That's bad. There's a woman over to my right that makes her very sad because she's done this. She has been here and heard these things and went home to her house with a regularity to watch her TV and to watch those things. And when I speak of it tonight, it makes her very sad because she knows what she has done. And she has seared her conscience to the extent that she still goes along with the saints. She still comes to the house of God. She still feels like everything's well with her. And down in her heart, she knows that she's lying against the truth because she feels the condemnation. And she knows that she's not right with God. But she still does these things. I'm telling you, I prayed for you many times, sister. Many times I prayed for you. I prayed for your husband. He's done the same thing. I prayed for you many times. But you still haven't given it up. You still haven't quit it. You know, I can give a man bread many times, but unless he finally gets to the place to where he's willing to work, he'll never have a living. Like I've heard Brother Dale's dad say so many times, Brother Pike, you give a man a fish today, you have to give him another fish tomorrow. But if you give him a fish today and teach him how to fish, he can catch his own fish tomorrow. That is, if he ain't too lazy to go fishing. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. So you have to learn to do a little something. It's sad to know that sister is here like that. She's becoming reprobate more and more. And she'll eventually have a heart attack or go out or die, whatever, and she'll open up her eyes in hell. And numbers, it's not just her. I'm speaking of her in particular because this is a practice. This is a habitual thing with her. Some of you just do it a little bit every now and then. You know, a little bit every now and then. Just a little bit every now and then. You know, but that'll kill you. Just put in a little poison every now and then. And after a while, it'll get you. Some people just take a dose and that's the end of it. But you just put in a little bit along and after a while, it'll get you. Some of you men and women both. You're doing this, not just with TB, but
TV, but with so many things. You're doing it. You know you're doing it. And you're going to die and go to hell. I'm your preacher. I'm here to tell you that. But some of you are making a genuine effort. Jesus said it'd be few that find it, because straight is the gate. And not very many people are going to walk straight. Go down to the street called Straight, Paul. But some of you are making a genuine effort, and you've come to the place to where you're ready to give the world up. You know, you're never going to serve God and be a Christian until you get ready to give the world up. Turning back to the world, giving your mind and hearts to the world, your desire to be again under bondage. To the beggarly elements of the world, having the love of God, or the love of the world's in you. See, the thing is, you're never going to get right with God. You're never going to serve God. You're never going to be a Christian. You'll just always be religious. And you'll be the enemy of God. And in the day of judgment, you'll have to answer as Judas did. And you'll have to answer as one that has been a hypocrite and one that has been a false brother. But some of you are trying, genuinely trying, to get your heart straight now so that you can be a Christian. Realizing it's not between you and the preacher, it's between you and God. That only the pure in heart is going to see God. Many of you never get revelation. You never will get revelation, because revelation is the revealed God. And you'll never get it because your heart's not pure. Only the pure in heart shall see God, and that with the eyes of your understanding. As Jesus said, always the things the Father do, I see this. So then you're never going to have revelation. But I challenge any one of you, it doesn't matter if it's a man or woman, girl or boy, that's old enough to understand. I challenge any of you to give God a chance at a pure heart. Try to have a pure heart. I challenge any of you to try to have a pure heart and see if God doesn't give you some revelation. See if He don't open your mind to revelation. I challenge any of you to do it, because He's no respecter of person. He'll give you revelation just like He'll give me revelation or anybody else revelation. But you're going to have a pure heart. I challenge you to do that. Try that and see if it works. See if you don't come back and say, "Hey, Brother Pike, God revealed something to me. It just thrilled my heart. I want to tell you about it. I want to hear about it. I want to see if this is really God. I know it is." That's just the way it'll be. But folks, you'll never come into this until you get a pure heart. The Bible said, "He that overcometh, I will give him to eat of the hidden manna." And when it says overcome, it means you've got to overcome self. Because Satan, Paul said, within the flesh is no good thing. Within his flesh, he said. And we're not to give place to Satan. To overcome Satan, as to the carnal mind, to overcome that proves your sonship. And God will give you that revelation, which is the hidden manner. Only they that overcome will get this. The others will hear the gospel. All the world must hear the gospel. But only them that overcome us will prove sonship. And this is the translation. When you start getting revelation, it means your mind is transformated. Transformated. From glory to glory. And as to whatever measure you go on to, that's what you're going to get. And that's what you're going to be. In your status of living, because that is a world. It's like here. If you want to get out of this world here and make it big, get more education and more learning. And get shrewder and more crafty. And learn more and go to college and do everything you can. And practice making money. And just sit around in your bedroom and try to figure out how to make money. And learn and learn and learn. And Satan will just fill you with the way to do it. And then you'll be big in the world. And if you want to get with God, do the same thing with God. Meditate in His laws day and night. Learn the ways of righteousness. Learn about holiness. And you'll get bigger and more revelation and more understanding and more understanding. You're bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in God's world. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to let you go. You that have to hurry to go, you ease on out. You ease on out. Leave my children with me. If you was my children, you'd hear my voice. You was my sheep. So then you love the world and you're of the world. And the devil is your father. And his will you're going to do. For the Bible said the children of this world are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. And he's going to take you into captivity. He's going to make you dress like he wants you to dress. To do the things that he wants you to do. And I don't care how religious you are, you're going to be Cain. You're going to be Judas. You're going to be Esau. No matter what you do. Because that's what you are. That's the two children. It's born. One into the kingdom of God. One into the kingdom of the world. Soon the members of Christ's body, the sons of God, are going to find their head, and they're going to head up into that body
And the seed that the enemy sown as of the father, the devil, those members are going to find their head. And they're going to head up into the Antichrist, which is the beast. And those members, as to the beast, remember, if you are flesh and you are not spirit, you're not born to the spirit, remember this. If you continue to be flesh and you're not born to the spirit, then you're the beast. That's the beast. That's what the beast is. And the beast will come forth. He'll be a fleshly being. He'll come forth, and when he comes forth, he'll draw his members to him. All of them will go to him. And remember, if you're born to the spirit, then you're not in the flesh. God has chosen you out of the flesh. And then that means that you are spirit. For he that is born of the spirit is spirit. The last man Adam was a quickening spirit. The first man Adam has to do with the beast. The second man Adam has to do with the Lord of glory. And if you're born to the spirit, you'll be drawn to your headship. And the way you'll be drawn to that headship is by the inner spirit. For the spirit will draw the spirit. As to them that will be drawn to Satan, the flesh will draw the flesh. That's why ball players, that's why singers, that's why athletes, that's why money men, that's why houses and cars and lands and prestiges and titles and great celebrities and dignitaries draw you and woo you, eating and drinking, talking and laughing. It draws you, the thoughts of making money and having lots of money, you know, to do what you want to. It draws you, it allures you. That's Satan. He savors the things that be of the flesh. He's the god of this world. And that's why you're attracted by him. But the children of God, they mean to die. They mean to go to Calvary. They mean to stay away from the world. Okay, that's the way it is. Can we sing another course together? You're not going to take my word for it. So as following Christ, I know that. You that are not my sheep, but you that are the sheep of Christ, and I say my sheep, the Bible said, not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within me. For God is in his temple, let all the world keep silent. My sheep, as to my sheep, my Father and I are one. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then, you're not going to hear me because you're not my sheep. You don't even have ears to hear what I'm saying. You never heard a word that the Heavenly Father said. You heard a sound that Brother Pike, as to the body, you heard an oral or a vocal sound. It struck the nerves of your ears. But as to the spirit, you never did hear anything he said. As to seeing the Father, you saw a natural man, but you didn't have eyes to see God. For the Bible said, only the pure in heart shall see God. Only the pure in heart shall see God. So then to see what the Father does, to hear the words that the Spirit is saying unto the churches, you've got to be a predestinated seed of that world, that heavenly world, that spiritual world. And to hear the things of the world, you just have to be born to the flesh and be a child of the flesh. And you can hear everything that Lucifer says, and it'll sound sweet to your ears. All right, let's sing together again, can we? Sweet over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest. And we'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Can you sing it again? Examine yourselves and see if you be a child of God. Aye, banker. See if you're just an intellectual. Just an intellectual conviction. See if you've got the world out of your heart. See if you're conforming to the word of the Lord. Faith means you believe what God said through the minister. And if you believe that, then that's faith. That's from the heart. If it's an intellectual thing, it's just from your head. It's just believing. It's not faith. But faith will make you conform to righteousness. For faith translates and faith transformates and transfigures. Natural believing just makes you part of the world. It just makes you part of the world. You can believe and be religious as you want to, but it'll only make you more part of the world. That's all it'll do for you. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that you're supposed to mortify the deeds of the body? Do you believe that you're supposed to take up your cross and follow Him? Do you believe that you should deny yourself, that where He is, you'll be also? Do you believe that you should fast and you should pray and you should sacrifice to give your body a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service? Do you believe that you should come out from the world, come out from among them, and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, that the Lord might receive you? Do you believe? Talking about faith, and we could go on and go on. Do you believe? Someone says, I do. Well, why haven't you done it? Why haven't you done these things if you believe? So you believe, but you believe in your intellect. You believe in your head. You believe with your reasoning. You're leaning to your own understanding. It's not faith. Had it been faith, it would have transformated your mind. It would have translated your spirit. And it would be working toward the transfiguration of your body as to the redemption of the body. And you would be changing all the time. All the time, more and more, toward the perfect man, going on to perfection. More and more like Jesus every day. My dad used to sing that home, that song, I'm nearer home than I was yesterday. You'd be nearer home every day if you was doing what the Lord commanded you to do. You love the Lord. To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus. On this earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only am just to be like Him. From Bethlehem manger, came forth a stranger. On earth I long just to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only had just to be like to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth alone, to be like Him. by grace forgiven and akin to heaven. On earth I long just to be like Him. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, it's changing me. Of the glory of His unveiled face, it's that glory that is changing me. Oh, let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done. Create in dust the mind of Christ, the Father and the For it's in the shining mercy that we see Thy Holy One. And our hope is to be like Him. So let Thy will be done. I found a new place in the heavens, a place of rest, a place of rest. I found a new place in God's heavenlies, in Jesus Christ, my Lord. I need Lord, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee. I need Thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need. So don't turn Him away. So don't turn Him away.
into your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. We'll go with him through the garden, and we'll go with him all the way. For where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. For where he leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with him, all the way. He will give me of his grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. For he will give me of his grace and glory, and he'll go with me all the way.
You love the Lord? God is so good, wanting to work with us and love us, to teach us, to guide us, to fill us with his wonderful Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. The other night I felt people getting filled with the Spirit. Tonight, those people still have the Spirit. Once he comes into your heart, he doesn't leave you. He doesn't leave you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. See, to get the Spirit, you're not going to get the Spirit to begin with. Though you be religious, though you be a believer, you're not going to get the Spirit to begin with unless you obey God. For the Bible said God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. So you're not going to get it unless you obey him. If you're doing little things on the side and you're having little tempers, and you're saying things and going about your ways, pouty and withdrawn and adding a little bit of the world here and there, you don't have the Spirit. You're not going to get it like that. But when you fully withdraw from the world and you say, Lord, I am thine, Lord. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. I have heard thy voice. I am thine. All that I am, all that I have been, all that I shall ever be. When you do that, then you get the Spirit. You get the Spirit. If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, try it. And if you think that I'm not telling you the truth, Just wait and see. Because if you believe that I'm telling you the truth, go on out into the world. Going out into the world and try it another way. Make a comparison and see if truth won't outshine the fallacy of the world. And go out there and go your way if you don't believe that I'm telling you the truth. Go out there, put it to the test. And you know what will happen? You'll be turned over to reprobate mind, to believe a lie and be damned. Go ahead. See if you ever get the Spirit. When you do those things, little foxes spoil your vines because you have tender grapes. And when you go out there, the life of the little foxes, see if you don't go on in religion for years and years and years coming in and out of the church. But see if you ever get the Spirit. 10 years from now, you won't have it. You'll be convinced that you have it because you'll be turned over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. Folks, only them that obey the Lord. You know what the Lord is? The Word of God. You know what the Word of God is? What the preacher preaches to you, what I've told you, all these things. To honor, to obey, that's what you call obeying the Lord. And you can get His Spirit. You know why you get the Spirit when you obey Him? Because God is the Word. God is the Word. There is no Spirit but my words. Jesus said they're life. Their spirits are life. This is the Word that was made flesh. This is the Spirit. This is Christ. This is God. This is the invisible God whom Paul said, I serve with my Spirit. This is Christ. And when you honor the Word, the Bible said when He comes, even the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit of the truth, that the world can't receive, He'll come in my name because it's Christ's Spirit. And He'll enter into you because you love the Word and you walk in the Word. And Jesus said, keep my Word, and my Father and I will come unto you, and we will make our abode with you. And you can do whatever you will. I'll bless you and you'll prosper because you'll have the Spirit to do the right thing. And whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Isn't that wonderful? I'll give it to you. Just decree it in your heart, it'll come to pass. More and mighty, you young girls and boys that are standing here, this is your day. This is your opportunity. This is your day. The elders have squandered it. They've squandered it. They have wandered around in their intellectual religious minds in denominations and trying to figure out how to get the world in with what they're doing and get businesses in with what they're doing and make money into what they're doing until they've squandered it and they've died in their intellectual wandering out in the wilderness. And they're just a bunch of religious proselytes, two full more, the child of hell. But this is your day. You young people, you haven't done that. Now is your move. Now is your day. Now is your generation. Now is your time. And you need to move in with all of your heart. All of these little ones coming in. All of these little ones coming in. It shows that the birth of the man-child is here. The young ones, they're crossing the Jordan. They're getting away from the carnal mind. They're coming into the mind of worship and the mind of love. They want to love God and worship God and be with God. They don't have an axe to grind, as the world says. They don't have a business to try to keep up. They don't have any dispute as to some indoctrination that they've received. They're just now learning. Their little hearts are open. That is, God's Spirit's going into their hearts. God's Spirit's going into their hearts. This is not a game. They're really getting God's Spirit in their heart. At the age of 12, Jesus was about His Father's business. Amazed the wise men of that day. These little ones are getting the heart right with God. The Bible said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. See, and the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and out of the mouth of sucklings, He hath perfected praise. Hear the little ones praising Him. Jesus went into the temple and they were saying, Hosanna to the King, Hosanna to the King. The scribes and the Pharisees dying in the wilderness, they cried out, what is this? They said. He said, have you never read in the Scriptures that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings He hath perfected praise? And they went right on praising God. Let's love Him. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love Him. Let us love Him.
love him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us praise him in the morning and praise him at the noon. Praise him, oh, let us praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me.
You know, a lot of you older people, you'd like to went home. You'd done heard the sermon. You was ready to go. See, but God brought the little ones up, and you got afraid you're going to be left out. So you come up too. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Said a little child shall lead them. See, you won't take time for God. You won't listen to God. Like Hezekiah, he listened. God gave him 15 more years. You won't listen. So you're losing your life and shortening your days by your disobedience. And the little ones is coming in. And God's going to make them live forever. Amen. They've got time for God. Out of the mouth of babes. God said, I've revealed this unto babes, such as are willing to learn. Like pushing a little red wagon up to the top of the hill, I've done it. And then when you get to the top of the hill, you can get in and it'll just ride by itself. And you can ride, you don't have to huff and puff. So you praise God for a little while, and after a while it'll do you like it did Johnny. It'll just pick you up like it did Ezekiel and just take you where you want to go. Or you just praise God for a little while, and after a while the praises will get into your soul and it'll start carrying you. Won't be no effort. You'll have a good time. Somebody talks about going to heaven. I'll tell you, heaven is right here. Jesus said, the Son of Man who is in heaven, and we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, sitting together in these heavenly places. Folks, when you get this the way I've got this, you're not waiting to get to heaven so that you can feel good and relax and just let go and just enjoy heaven. Like Steve was telling his wife the other day, said, I'm in heaven. Said, I'm in heaven. Of course, she didn't know what he was talking about. So he talked to her a few days later, and he said, I'm still in heaven. So I'm still in heaven. So she's beginning to wonder about, said she melted like butter this time. She's beginning to wonder what's going on. Praise God. If we got anybody at all, it's in heaven. Anybody? Praise God. I'll tell you what, if that's coming from your heart, real faith, it's real genuine. It's real genuine. It's real genuine. Hallelujah. Let's sing a chorus or two. Since you come up here, let's just sing a chorus or two. Can we come around here, little lady? I noticed you when you come up. Just come around here. Don't you want to see souls saved? Don't you want to see souls saved? You want to give your heart to the Lord? Want to give your heart to the Lord? Let's just lift our hands up. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up? Just lift your hands up. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up, little lady. Let's sing. Can we sing a song? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Come on now. It makes me sing when I get happy. Sing, lift up your hands, little one. I feel the Spirit of God now. Lift your hands up, little lady. Lift your hands up. Will you do it? Just lift them up above your head. Way on up. Lift them way on up. Lift them way on up. Don't be ashamed. Lift them up. Call on the name of Jesus. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Did you know that Christ is right here? He's right here. I feel him right now. I feel him right now. He's wanting to save you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, save this little lady. Oramanda Ramashandriandra Masandra Mosandra Manaya.
Hallelujah. I feel you saving her right now. I feel you saving her right now. By Calvary, hallelujah, I feel you saving her. Father, I can tell she's believing in you. She's believing in you right now, Lord. She's believing in you. Ask him to save you, little lady. Ask him to save you. Say, Jesus. Can you say, Jesus? Say, save me, Jesus. Forgive my sins, Jesus. I believe in Calvary. I believe that you're my Savior. Do you believe that from your heart? Do you believe he's your Savior? Do you believe he's your Savior? Sure, lift up your hands. You can feel him already, can't you? Lift up your hands and close your eyes and let's pray together. Can you do that? Just lift your hands up. Lift your hands up and close your eyes and let's worship God. Can you do that? Hallelujah. Say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Lord, save my brothers and sisters. Lord, save the people. Can you tell him? The Bible said, making intercession for them that are without, that God may save. Now's the time. Now's the time for God to save your daddy and save your mother and save your brother. While the Spirit of God is moving, tell him. Jesus said, ask anything and believe it, I'll do it. Now's a good time to believe. It's easy to believe right now if you're sincere. Believe for that mother. Believe for that daddy while the tears are running down the cheeks of these little ones here. Believe. Ask God to save them. Give him a chance. Ask him. You say, my children are too mean. God can't save them. I challenge you to ask with a sincere heart. I challenge you to ask for your dad and mother. I challenge you to do it. I give you my word that God will save them. He said, ask what you will, I'll do it. What it is we need to believe. We haven't been walking close enough to believe when we pray. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. You've got to walk close enough to believe. Tonight you're believing. You're beginning to believe. You're beginning to press into God. And you're beginning to believe. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is here. He's wanting to fill you with the Spirit tonight. Let's love the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And can you sing it with me? Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good. So give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's pretty. I've got that old-time religion. I got that old-time religion. I got that old-time religion. And it's pretty. I've got that old-time religion. That old-time religion. Just lift up your hands and pray. Good enough for me. I've got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. And it's good enough for me. It has taken us all to glory. It has taken us all
to glory. It has taken us all to glory, and that's good enough for me. I found that I am dwelling in heaven. Found that I am dwelling in heaven. Found that I am dwelling in heaven, and it's good enough for me. I'm in those heavenly places. I'm in heavenly places. I'm in heavenly places, and that's good enough for me. I've got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. Got that old time religion, and it's good. Won't you come up to heavenly places? Come up to heavenly places. Oh, come up to heavenly places. Won't you come up to heavenly places? Cause it's good enough for me. I've got that old time religion. I got that old time religion. I got that old time religion, and it's good enough for me. I've got that old time. Old time religion, and it's good enough for me. I see this little Jewish girl standing up here. She's standing up here tonight lifting up her lovely little hands. And I thought about a vision that the sister had about me being over in Israel and being in the glorified body, and how the Jews begin to listen. How the Jews begin to listen. This little Jewish girl standing up here, so beautiful. I've seen many of them, and they're so beautiful. Just think, they've got to know about Jesus. Their fathers died in the wilderness, isn't that right? Looking back into Egypt. But these have got to know about Jesus. She knows about Jesus. She lifts her little hands up. That proves the little Jew girl will believe too. Isn't that right? I've got that old time religion. Old time religion, got that old time religion, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion, cause it's good. You better get that old time religion. Better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion. Good enough for me. I've got that time religion. Got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. Let's give him a hand, can you? How many of you believe that you got the old time religion? Can you say amen if you got the old time religion? I want us to lift our hands up together tonight. Just lift your hands up with me tonight. It's so wonderful to be a Christian and have this old-time religion. But folks, let me tell you, if you've got this old-time religion, you know what you'll do? You'll go out into the highways and you'll go out into the hedges. And like the songwriter said, go tell it on the mountains. You'll tell it in the valleys. You'll tell it on the mountains. You'll tell it in Monroe. You'll tell it in Winder. You'll tell it in Atlanta, Georgia. You'll tell it in Tennessee. You'll tell it in the Carolinas. You'll tell it wherever you go. You'll tell it in Mississippi. You'll tell about this old-time religion. I believe next Saturday we're supposed to go into Tennessee and over into Mississippi. And I just saw vision a week or so ago where I was over there in Mississippi and I was over there in Tennessee. And I was in both of them. It's right close together. And I was going along in there. I was doing something. I must have been spreading the gospel or doing something. And there was some that was with me. When you go over there loaded with the literature of God. You go over there, prayed up and fasted up, and you go over there for the testimony of Christ, and you go over there and you say in your heart, God, I'm going to shake somebody. I'm going to shake Tennessee. I'm going to shake Mississippi. I'm going to shake a home somewhere. I'm going to shake a heart somewhere. I'm going to shake this place. I'm going to do something for God by faith in God. I'm going to shake this place. That's what we need to do. And if we go with that kind of attitude, I guarantee you, we'll shake that place and we'll come back rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, Bringing in the Sheaves. Can we sing that song? Bringing in the sheaves.
ringing in the sheep.
And we shall come rejoicing, ringing in the sheep.
We're bringing in the sheep.
And I will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep.
We're bringing in the sheep.
We're bringing in the sheep. I will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. And we will come rejoicing. Sing it with me. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, and we will come rejoicing, bringing.
Are you going to bring any sheaves for God? Are you going to go out in the harvest field and bring some sheaves in for God? Are you going to testify to somebody and tell them to come to Bethlehem? Or tell them to go with us into world evangelism, invite them in? Somebody said they won't come. Look at them, it's coming. Look at him, it's coming. Somebody's bringing these in. Somebody's went and asked these to come. Somebody's bringing them. Whoever brought them, that's their sheaves and that's their reward.
Oh, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves,
and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing.
Can you sing it again?
Well, we're bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. And we shall sing it one more time. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep, and we shall come rejoicing.
Break this yoke. May the great, wonderful God, the precious Savior, touch this heart and this life. Break this yoke. By thee, O God.
Hallelujah.
Name of Jesus.
We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. We will come rejoicing, bringing in. Bringing in the sheaves, Bethlehem's bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, Bethlehem's bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing, bring.
Sing it with me again.
Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in
one more time.
We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Across the bridge,
can you sing it?
There's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun will. Across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. Do you love the Lord?
little horse was saying, across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the be unhappy. Can you sing that with me? In this world we're living in, we have lived a life of sin. We've done forbidden things we shouldn't do. But now the Savior leads the way to a land of better day, where there's real happiness and love that's true. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be young. Can you sing it one more time with me? It's across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Far across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the bridge, and we'll never be unhappy again. Give me another kiss. As I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Can you sing with me? For all is all my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain also. Looking over into the sea, that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and to stand upon the mountain. mountain of salt. Over into the city that my Lord said he's prepared, gives me faith that I can make it.
Can you see over into the city? Can you? As I stand,
burdens have been lifted. Hallelujah. I feel you blessing this darling little child. Father, even before I ask you to do it, I feel you blessing this darling little child. The sincerity of a little one's heart, Master. Fill her with your love and blessings and spirit to watch over her all the days of her life. In Jesus' name. Father, bless this little lad tonight. Dear, wonderful God of heaven, may your great spirit come into the heart of this little lad tonight. Oh, dear God, bless his little heart tonight. May it be enriched with a lovely presence. Dear, wonderful God, Lord, the man of God that prayed so many prayers for these, oh God, fill this heart in answer to my prayer and Brother Gonzalez's prayers. Oh God, the brothers and sisters' prayers, Sister Nambi's prayers. Bless in the wonderful name of Jesus. Dear God, tonight, break the yoke from off of Junior. I feel that you've done it. Lift up his heart. Let him know there's nothing better. There's nothing better, hallelujah, than having this salvation, eternal life, to never die. Oh God, in the wonderful name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, fill Junior with your spirit tonight. God, help him to love you tonight. Help him to love you. Hallelujah. Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up, Junior. Can you lift your hands up with me? Can you lift your hands up? Let's pray together. Lift your hands up, little one. Lift your hands up, Bubba. Let's pray. Come on, lift your hands up. Hallelujah. Let's call on the name of Jesus tonight, Junior. Let's call on the name of Jesus. Let's ask Jesus to save us tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to save Junior tonight. While Junior's calling on you out of his heart, while he's asking out of his heart, give him eternal life. Lord, give him eternal life that he might not have to die, that he might not have to go into the lake of fire. Oh God, that he might not be killed at an early age or some disease take away his life. Lord, that he might not have the wrath of God upon him, but rather the blessings of God. That Satan might not take advantage of him and mislead him. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, for thou art not as strong as Christ. I break your hope. I break your hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel the victory here. I feel the yokes being broken. I do. I feel the power of God in this building. I feel the power of God in this building. Hallelujah. The yoke is broken, and where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you praise the Lord? Can you praise him? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you feel that victory? Feel that yoke's broken? How many feel that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's real. Let's praise the Lord for a few minutes. I felt a praise from God. A while ago, I felt a praise of God that was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I felt faith. I felt the victory. I felt the real victory of God. Hallelujah. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, break the yoke off of this little sister. Ooh, hallelujah. God, I feel your blessings. I feel your blessings tonight, God. Break this yoke and fill this little lady with the wonderful Spirit of God. Let her have eternal life tonight. God, let her have eternal life tonight. Let her have eternal life right now. I feel the yoke breaking right now, little sister. I feel it breaking. Lift up your heart to God. Believe with all of your heart. Call on Him. Don't doubt. Love Him with all of your heart. Just release your spirit and self into God tonight. Father, I feel you giving her eternal life tonight. Hear from heaven. Hear from heaven as she calls on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Take your hands off of this body. The body is the Lord's. Take your hand off of these people. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I feel the power of God here, folks. I feel it here tonight. I do. I feel it breaking the yoke tonight. You know what? I actually feel the angels in heaven rejoicing. A while ago, when I heard you scream, I heard the angels of God in heaven. The angels of God are looking down tonight. The truth. The angels of God, they are caught away in this tonight. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. God let me know that they were right close to you tonight. And they were just rejoicing and having the biggest kind of time with you tonight. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making up something. They're rejoicing tonight. Think about that. The angels of God in heaven tonight are rejoicing because your people are rejoicing the way you are tonight. And souls are being saved. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. It's on. Father, break the yoke from off of Jim tonight. Help Jim to come in and be steady and be stable, knowing that if he wants the infilling of the Spirit of God, there's no way to have it except that he would obey God. Lord, you give the Holy Ghost to them that obey you. Help Jim to obey you with all of his heart. Help him to believe tonight with all of his heart, to be pure in heart. Father, to turn his life over to you without reservation of heart, to where never again will he betray you. Never again will he go back to the things of the world. Never again will he turn to the beggarly elements of the world. But God, he's exclusively yours. Let it be in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Let's lift those hands up again and let's praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch this little sister tonight. Fill her with the wonderful Spirit of God. Satan, take your hands off of this baby tonight. In the name of Jesus, I charge you to do it. In Jesus' name tonight. Father, bless these little bitty ones tonight. Bless them in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. God, let your Spirit be on these little folks tonight. God, they want your blessings tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch them tonight. Touch these little people tonight. God, touch them with your Spirit tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name. Let's lift our hands up and praise God tonight. Can we do that? Can we do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gone. The stone is rolled back. Gone. The tomb is empty. Of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord. He sees your heart tonight. God sees your heart tonight. He sees your heart. I laid hands on this little sister because I saw way back here, and the Lord let me know her heart and her spirit, and she was pushing up to where she could get a touch from God because she believed something was really happening, and it really is happening. Hallelujah. Gone lives forever. Can you sing it with me? Gone and the stone is rolled back. Gone and the tomb is empty. Gone to see.
sit at my Father's